Ladies and gentlemen, Grace Love.
I all of a sudden just got really emotional.
Okay.
Thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for being here. It has been a journey in Port Townsend to be a queer woman of color, a queer black woman. What I want to say is this is a celebration today. We're not just marching for our lives. This is a day to celebrate our lives, celebrate our freedom. And so I want you guys to remember that when you're walking down, we can be proud, we can be loud. We're marching for change, and I just wanted to make sure you knew that, that Juneteenth is a celebration of freedom for the black community. Thank you guys so much for being here.
All right. That was Grace Love at the Juneteenth rally just not like a minute ago, like 5 minutes ago. Look, live news on KPTZ. Grace, are you with us?
I am here.
Grace Love, you're recorded at a rally, and then a few minutes later, you're talking to us live on the radio. How is this the magic? The magic is happening here. Hey, that
it
was,
is
I'm getting chills all day today, and it's probably, you know, the Juneteenth just feels, it feels real. It feels like maybe things that a lot of folks have been waiting for a long time. I mean, they're not going to happen overnight, but it's like, maybe we're getting closer. And hearing your speech, I just brings tears to my eyes and gives me those electric shivers. So nice work up there.
Oh, thank you.
I saw some video from the rally. It just looked like there were a crazy amount of people out there.
Oh my gosh. I actually took some video myself. To preface everything, I have a sun allergy. And so
gnarly.
As soon as I got off the stage, like my skin went into crazy shock. But I got to stand and videotape the crowd, you know, starting from the beginning all the way down, and it just, my heart just exploded with love, and it was very emotional for me.
Mm.
Definitely.
Mm. And just, I mean, feel like this community is standing up for black people, for BIPOC people, in a way that I honestly is unprecedented to me. You know, it shows that people are willing to put themselves out there. You were one of the organizers of this originally, right? I mean, I heard Sean saying you don't want necessarily want that. You don't want that acclaim, but, and you know,
Sean spearheaded everything. I just kind of was like the idea gal behind it.
Yeah, and you know, everybody who like jumps in, it usually helps to have a few other people jump in the pool with you, you know, if it's cold.
Yeah,
I don't know where I'm going with that metaphor, but
that's a good metaphor.
I'm going somewhere. I mean, I want to go swimming, you know. Go swimming with that simile. But so we're talking to Grace Love. Grace is a musician. You know, we just talked to Rico, and he characterized himself as a citizen architect. Grace, yeah. I'm just going to try and characterize you for a second, and you can tell me how wrong I am.
Okay.
Grace is a musician of food and love.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. So a whole combination, you know, thinking of your beautiful voice and beautiful songs. When I said you were coming on the show, my friend who works at Chaos Radio over in Olympia, he was like, oh, we had Grace Love on. She did a set. And so they love you down at Chaos in Olympia.
I had so much fun doing
that. Yeah, that's, did you used to live in Olympia? Is that where you lived before you lived here?
No, I was freshly from Italy.
Whoa.
Before I moved to Port Townsend. But I'm a Seattle Tacoma girl, like Tacoma born or raised, not born, and then Seattle, of course, but I've lived a lot of places.
Yeah. Oh, and then Italy.
Yeah.
So, but you were born in Tacoma, raised in Seattle?
So let's make this even more complicated.
Do it.
Born in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes.
And then I moved here when I was 3.
Whoa.
And I moved to Tacoma. And then from Tacoma, I have lived a million different places. And then just recently settled back into the Pacific Northwest the last 3 years. And it's been nice to have, you know, to feel home finally. In this area, specifically Port Townsend.
What made you choose Port Townsend as a place to lay your head?
You know, that's a very interesting question.
Maybe I shouldn't ask.
I don't know yet.
You're only, as no, Leonard Cohen said, you're only lightly here right now.
Yeah. No, I met a really amazing person who changed, you know, how I feel worthy about myself. And you know, we've been together that whole time. So, and then we just recently had our son 10 months ago. So,
yes. Congratulations.
My grandparents are here. Thank you. So, it has worked out staying in this area for sure.
That's good. That's good. And I mean, yeah. I'm raising kids out here too. And I know that there's, you know, there's some drawbacks, like not having enough other kids around all the time. But you know, then there's those pluses, like how easy it is to go throw rocks at the beach, you know, which is actually not as easy to do that in Seattle.
No.
Or even Tacoma.
Yeah.
I'm a born and raised Seattle boy. So we always made fun of Tacoma growing up, but actually now I like going to Tacoma way better than I like going to Seattle. So I don't know what was wrong with my pretentious self back then, you know, making fun of Tacoma when really I was the one who should be being made fun of.
Yeah, it's true. I'm sorry, Paul. It's true.
It's true. No, it absolutely is. You know, and then when Sunset Magazine went and declared Tacoma like the best place to live in the Northwest, I was like, God, you know, like I believe that because I would never move back to Seattle. You could not pay me to move back to Seattle.
Yeah.
I would go to Bellingham or I would go to Tacoma. And maybe Olympia. I don't know, but either way, I probably still had to get paid to do that.
Yeah, no, I think so. Port Townsend gives us a little hub of something, and I think that's why I love it here. You know, it is isolated, but it's also good isolation sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. So before we had all these things happening, you know, we had COVID, you had a kid. I mean, what's the status of your music career right now, given all this stuff that's happening?
So music, like when I found out I was pregnant, music was the back burner because I had a pretty rough pregnancy. The mortality rate for Black women is very, very high.
Mm.
And then all of the other stuff added. So I was like, music. Meh.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not killing the game right now, so I'm going to just step back from it. And then right before COVID hit, I was like, okay, I think, you know, it's been 2 years. I think I'm ready to get back into the game. And then all of my shows were canceled. I was supposed to be in France and Germany.
Oh,
I was supposed to go on a tour. I was supposed to be a part of a lot of little festivals this year, and obviously all of those things have been canceled. So it was kind of like, okay, who's talking to me? Who's saying that?
What do they say? Announcing your plans is a good way to hear God laugh.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. I like that.
That's so some disappointment there in terms of how you're touring. I mean, because that's gotta be maybe it's the best and the worst part of being a musician, right? Is you get to go see all these beautiful places, but you have to like see them really fast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, I like that. You know, I'm all about the turnover tours where I stay 1 or 2 days in a place because I like to get things done.
Yeah. I love it.
Yes.
Oh, I hear baby in the background.
Yeah. I'm trying to stay as far away.
Oh, no, it's good. No, it's good. I don't think there aren't enough babies talking on KPTZ 91.9. What we need to do is a show where we just have our babies. We have our kids talking into the mics. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can set it to music. We can have Caleb Peacock, DJ Captain Peacock. He can do like some backbeats for it. It'll be great. We'll just remix all of our kids into a nice dance party. So you went to this rally, you walked this rally, you presented at this rally, and now I take it you're back at home, snuggled in with the boo.
Yeah, we're, you know,
it's
hanging out.
It's a full life.
Yeah.
So in between, I mean, you also have a catering company, right?
I do.
And that's, tell us about that. So you're a cook as well as a musician. I guess give us a little details about that. And if you're still doing
so,
it.
Yeah. So the background behind Nadine's Kitchen was, in 2014, I decided to do a dinner and a show where I prepared a 3-course meal and then sang a set of music. Because, you know, people like my voice. So I was like, okay, how do I get people in the door to, like, understand that I can cook as well as I can sing?
Yeah.
And then when I moved here to Port Townsend, I wanted to bring that part of my life with me. And I thought it was cool because we have local farms. And so I just kind of started doing pop-ups every once in a while and, you know, eventually doing it. I was doing it at Finn River. I was doing it for the market. And right now, it's still under wraps, but you guys, you know, KPTZ listeners get to hear the first push of it.
Exclusive breaking news.
Yeah, exactly. I have a beverage that I'm going to be selling called Soul Punch.
Ooh.
And I created this thing years ago, and now it's like kind of one of the more popular things. So I'm slowly getting back into the food game. Obviously, with COVID, everything is, the regulations are different.
Sure.
So,
is there any way for us to sample Soul Punch now?
Not yet. I'm still waiting for the Department of Agriculture to get back to me because we have to make sure everything is in line with what they need me to be in line with.
Got it.
Probably in the next month, I'll definitely be able to tell you guys where to get some.
Okay. I really like the so many meanings in Soul Punch. Cause you got it like, sounds like soothing, but it also sounds like somebody punched you in the soul, which I've been punched in the soul before, but, and it's usually a good thing, right?
Yes, it is.
I don't mind a little soul punch now and then to remember that you have one.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, if you don't feel anything, you don't have a soul.
Exactly. You're like, oh my God, I feel good about what just happened to me.
This could be a song too. You could just sling this in with your marketing as well.
Well, my goal is to eventually, if I can get up to a production level, I might even put like QR codes on the labels. This is from a friend who suggested this. And at first I was like, no, but I might put like a QR code on it and you can hear like an exclusive, like lo-fi version of a song that I've done or something.
That's rad. No, that's perfect. That's the kind of thing it's what musicians, you know, need to do. The ones who aren't like programmed by the studios, they have to do stuff like this now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, especially if you're independent, that being an independent artist, doing everything, being the manager, the marketer and everything in between, you got to be creative.
Would you go ahead and sign to a big label if you were offered it, right?
Nope.
Oh, cool. Well, tell me about that. Why wouldn't you?
I don't want nobody owning my stuff. I was, you know, listening. You played a song of a group I'm no longer in. And, you know, that group, we could have went really far. And I think that, like, a lot of people have tied me down with soul music. And yes, I'm a soul singer, but I love rock and roll. Mm. And so I'm so weird. I'm so far past the, what is characterized as a good artist, you know, in the sense of, I don't want to fit in that box, you know? And, record labels have rejected me because of that. They're like, well, if you lose 30 pounds or 50 pounds,
what?
And if you change your hair color, and if we get you a little bit of, you know, if we straighten your hair, you know, like stuff like that.
Oh my God.
And it's a game.
Yeah. No good. I could see not wanting to be a part of that at all. Yeah. And I mean, yeah. But I feel like it's their loss, right? Because I think about what was the hottest song of 2019? Do you remember? It's okay if you don't, because that was a long time ago.
It feels like that was 8 years ago. I know. Like, why are you asking me that?
It's like decades. But it was Lil Nas X and country.
It was
Old Town Road, which is a combination of a Nine Inch Nails, Billy Ray Cyrus, you know, rap song. It is like the most. It is the most melded. It is not a rap song. It is so many other things. You know, like it's all this stuff, and I feel like record labels had no idea what to do with that song. That song was just like. Everyone loved it, and I mean, I don't love Billy Ray Cyrus, but I love that song, and that song got me back into listening to Nine Inch Nails too, and following Lil Nas X. So I guess, like, I wonder if a label would say, "Oh, you're just gonna be soul music, and you're gonna keep it to this." That's so short sighted, you know. Especially, you know. But when you start making music again, do you think you'll kind of seg out and not just be doing sort of the style of music that you've been doing? Will it? Will you improvise beyond that, or is that still what's most comfortable for you in terms of the creation of music?
Well, the thing is, Paul, is I released two records this year, in January. One is like pretty much straight from my heart from the last 2 years of just everything I've been through. And then the other one is like a disco kind of record.
Love disco.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. It's that group is called Reset, and when I was pregnant, I just went in the recording studio and recorded about 8 songs with him, and or 7, and it's like dance disco stuff. I'll have to send it to you.
Yeah, send it to me. Is it on Bandcamp? Is it on your Bandcamp?
It's on Bandcamp. It's Grace Love and Reset.
Got it.
So I recorded some new stuff, some stuff to get me out of my box. And it seems like a lot of people are enjoying what they're hearing, so that's a good sign. I think that I'm going to just keep singing the way I'm supposed to keep singing, and maybe hopefully figure it out in the meantime, of what, you know, where I fit in, or if I fit in.
Happy Juneteenth, Grace.
Thank you very much.
I know. Is it okay for white people to say happy Juneteenth?
And you know, I'm still working through that. I don't know yet.
I mean, because it's probably going to happen a lot more. It's like happy Juneteenth. But then when you read the history of Juneteenth, it's like, oh yeah, you're not slaves anymore. You're workers, and you also can't dress in fancy clothes and, you know, all this stuff. It's like, can we say happy Juneteenth when, you know, black people aren't actually free yet?
Really free. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm going to let it slide this year because it's a weird year. I'm like, okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like we've talked a lot about it on this show. Today we talked about reparations. We talked about making exclusively black spaces, you know, talking about, the idea of an exclusive holiday in some ways, that it's not excluding people. It's saying that, you know, actually we need our space and we deserve our space because historically we had our space stolen from us.
It's a complicated thing, and I don't know, I just, you know, and I see just traditionally Southern, you know, there used to be rodeos and baseball and music, and the elders would speak. So I'm even thinking about next year and how I can make something even more beautiful happen, because I've been trying to do a lot of activism in this town and have kind of been shot down. And I think that finally people who do have some things to say or some power, they're willing to help now. So that's a good sign.
So do you have any memories of celebrating Juneteenth in the South? You know, I mean, I know you moved when you were 3, maybe that's too young, but I don't even know.
But I just remember family gathering, you know, it was always a big, large group of us. I just remember family and community and good food.
Yeah.
You know, and So I don't know what days that fell on, but it could have been. But I think that, like, yeah, that's just a community thing, you know.
And I know, a lot of folks up north probably, and I don't know about, you know, other people of color that you met, black people, who some folks don't even actually celebrate it or necessarily even know what it is, right?
Yes. A lot of people don't, you know, and I've looked at the history and how complicated it is, but I see the light that a lot of, you know, people wanted to bring to it. And so I focus on that part. Yeah, the bad part is bad. I just think that, like, why not have a day that, you know, my people felt free, you know, black people felt free. And I think that that's the most important part of that message, you know.
So when you hear, like, we just heard the last interview that Kate Dean and the Jefferson County Commission declared Juneteenth a Jefferson County holiday officially.
Awesome.
And Senator John Cornyn has introduced legislation to make it a federal holiday. Should it be like a day off of work type of holiday, you know, paid vacation? What do you think about that?
Heck yeah.
Let's go all the way.
Pay me to stay home.
Right. Me too.
I'm okay with that.
maybe it would be going too far to say that white people still have to go to work, but black people get to stay home.
I think any person of color should go home and white people should work.
You know, I mean,
I know there's a lot of people out there just like, oh my God, I hate you.
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean,
I don't care.
It's kind of, yeah, it's hard to say, right? I mean, some people really like to go to work.
Yeah, well, then those people can go to
those
work.
Those people can go to
I'm
work.
Okay with taking the day off.
Oh my God, that would be, yeah, that's probably illegal, but, you know.
Yeah.
But hey,
we're
Senator.
We're getting into some touchy territory.
Yeah. Well, watch out. You got your radio up?
No, I ain't got nothing.
Oh, maybe that's just baby monitor.
It might be my computer.
Oh, well, it's good. It's gone now. Yeah, so Senator John Cornyn, if you're listening, you know, just go check with the discrimination board on whether or not we can make it so only white people.
We can be specific.
You know, I mean, there's justice in that, right? I mean, it's silly. It's a silly idea, but sort of like the concept is like, I mean, because I feel weird saying happy Juneteenth to somebody.
Yeah.
To a BIPOC person
of
color.
That.
You know, and
I mean, I feel like we have to figure out what language fits there. And obviously that's just, it's, you know, work in progress as everything is, because probably millions of people didn't know about Juneteenth until the last, 3 months?
Right.
So.
No, exactly. You know. So what can white people do to be better allies, especially in Jefferson County, you know, but maybe worldwide, to people of color, to black people, indigenous people?
I mean, amplify our voices. I saw one of my, you know, acquaintances do that. You know, just if we're posting stuff and if we're selling stuff, I think that's the key too, is like not only amplifying our voices, but supporting our businesses, you know, in any way you can, whether it's sending your friends to the spaces. I just think that, like, one of the biggest, you know, disparities between a lot of black people and just a lot of people of color is economic, you know?
Yes.
And I think that, like, if we can somehow figure out how to make that more equal, I mean, right now I'm going through the process of loans and stuff, and, like, you know, the banks, it's a bunch of red tape. Mm. And, you know, when I fill out these applications and I have to put, you know, my background, my ethnicity and, you know, my sex, it just kind of, it makes me scared, you know, because I'm like, well, I'm not going to get it because they know these two things about me.
Mm.
But yeah, I think that, like, supporting black owned businesses, finding out what our local black owned businesses are. Sean is awesome, and he and all of the team, you know, we've thrown names at him. So what I'm going to do with the group is definitely get a more appropriate list of Black-owned businesses in town and make sure that we have their websites and their contact information and see how you can just go and buy something. Even if it's just once a month, supporting a Black-owned business is huge. You know? Because there was at least, I mean, my eyes might be crazy, but there was about 500-plus people today at this march, and I wasn't emotional until I saw that.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, it shows me that there is some change coming. We just can't lose momentum. And I think that's what a lot of us have been worried about. And I don't want to push anybody too hard, you know, but I want them to keep being on fire about change.
Yeah, no, and I think that's good. I think it's how it should be. And I think, you know, if there are any, like, white folks who were at that march and haven't donated to either, you know, like a bail fund for BIPOC or, you know, gone to gracelove.bandcamp.com or gracelovereset.bandcamp.com and spent, you know, I mean, spend $20, buy an album.
Yeah.
It's good music. Yeah. And, and you're supporting Grace Love, who's supporting us with, you know, doing the burden, taking on the burden of talking to this white DJ about stuff that, you know, he needs to know about and be educated about, and helping my listeners try and learn. And one of our first guest tonight too was the Jefferson County Anti-Racist Fund, jcarf.org. And we talked about reparations. And I mean, we don't need to get back into reparations unless, you know, you want to talk about that. I know it gets touchy, but I mean, it is one thing to show up and march, and it is another to, you know, put your money where your mouth is. And you don't have to be rich necessarily, but, you know.
No, you don't.
You got to acknowledge your privilege, you know, and it's hard work, and I'm constantly doing it, and I'm constantly benefiting from my privilege. And it's a learning experience, but one of those ways is, you know, is that the unknown and unseen financial privileges of being white, they exist, they're real.
Yeah. And I think that people, you know, I mean, there's so much you see every day, and I want to say this, Paul, it's not a burden to talk to you about it. I think that it's more of a burden when I have to, you know, expel energy for someone who's just asking me to, what is it called, to just irk me. And I think that, like, talking with someone who's actually hearing me and listening, I think that's a different, you know, a different feeling. A lot of Black people are saying, like, it's not our job to educate you. And that is true. But this also, there are ways to ask your friends of color, like, things that they don't mind answering, you know, even though we're tired and we're scared and we're just all the emotions you can be. I think that it's important to know that that dialogue is still open. It's just, you have to learn how to ask, you know?
I hear you. So we're getting towards the end of our time. I wanted to ask, you know, so now we've got Black Lives Matter painted, albeit in temporary paint, in front of City Hall. That's pretty cool, although it's temporary. We've got, you know, you got 500 plus people marching down Water Street. So what, you know, I think these things are great. And like you said, we don't want to see that momentum go away, but I'm really interested in policy changes and what we want to see. So I wanted to ask you if you had anything that you want to see changed in terms of city or county policy going forward, that you think would be like a great victory of the social movement that's happening right now?
Well, I definitely want our, you know, city council and other people to look into how much they're actually investing in the police department here and why we don't have affordable housing. Because as a young mom, and there's a lot of young moms, it's not just for people of color. It's just anybody who doesn't have the means to buy a $500,000 house. I think that, like, I would love to have that conversation of how can we redirect that money into putting structures up for people who want to live in this town and want to be in this town, because the young people here are incredible. You know, we're working at your bars, we're fixing your food, we're, you know, there's a lot of other things we're doing, but we're definitely very concentrated in the essential, you know, food making business. I think that that's a conversation I would love to have, is talking about how to redistribute that money, and like why we're using so much of that money for police in Jefferson County.
I think it's a great question. And, yeah. You know, I mean, do we, yeah, you're going to get in so much trouble today, you know, I mean, but there's police officers I love. I'm not love, but like that I'm okay with in town. Well, I don't know if like,
yeah, and I don't hate nobody.
Yeah. But it's like,
officer. But every time I see them, my heart drops out of my body.
I mean,
so that's a thing.
And me too. And you know what? I think a huge part of it, I talked to Sean a bit about this. It's the paramilitary gear they wear. It's like, really, you come to my house to pick up a letter from, this is TMI, you come to my house to pick up a letter from my wife's stalker wearing body armor. Like, I'm not going to shoot you. Like, and maybe it's almost like when you own a gun in your house, your kids are more likely to shoot themselves with it than you are to shoot a burglar. Or somebody's going to steal it from you and go shoot somebody else doing some dirt. Like, you wear the body armor and you say, I'm scared of you and I have a gun and I can kill you. I mean, that's not. And you know, that gets white people. If it gets white people, how do you think it gets black people?
Exactly. That feeling of like, what did I do wrong? You know, like,
exactly.
And you know, yeah, that's that, just that. I mean, and I know that a lot of people feel that, but black people, we feel it on every minute by minute basis. So,
right.
You know, I'm not trying to make enemies in town with the police department.
No, but I mean, that's an easy one to me.
I've been pulled over a lot of times. My little brother, he's been pulled over every single time he's come out here. So it's just
every single time.
It's scary every single time.
Oh my
and I've
God.
Lived here for 3 years.
Oh my
and
God.
My brother's like, yes, yeah, I'm not going out there.
Yeah, forget it. I'm good. Oh, man. And I'm like, you just change your uniforms. Like, you're done. Like, that was a huge change right there. You made progressive, you know, made progressive change. Well, I can't thank you enough for being with us, Grace. And I hope to have you back in the next couple months. We can talk again and we can be, hopefully we won't say, wow, remember all that momentum? Where did that go? Hopefully we'll say, wow, look at all these changes. It's still going.
I hope so. I thank you so much, Paul, for having me. It means a lot.
Oh, man. Well, you're going to have a great day. Thank you so much, Grace.